Welcome to the Shanty Sound Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Byrne, and to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Shanty Sound, I've started my very own podcast exploring one of my favourite topics, the healing power of music and sound. I'm a lifelong musician, and I've also been working extensively with sound therapy and sound healing for many years now. And I'm guessing that perhaps like me, you're here because you're also interested in all things to do with healing music and sound. Over the last 10 years, both through travelling and the internet, I've met some pretty awesome people, and I'm excited to get to know them even better through these interviews. I'm really interested in people and what draws them to begin sharing music and sound in a healing or therapeutic way, and in learning more about the healing and uplifting effects of immersing in sound and music. So if you do enjoy this podcast, I would love you to hit the subscribe button on whichever app you're listening on, and do feel free to leave a review or a comment. And you can also check out the show notes from this and every episode at shantysound.com.au/podcast. My guest on today's episode is Electric Consciousness, also known as ARIA award-winning music teacher Scott Maxwell. Scott combines modern and ancient healing instruments with cutting-edge music production software. Through this combination of old-world and new-world instruments, he is able to create unique harmonies and ultra-cosmic frequencies. From the mellow, light tones of the 432Hz crystal bowls to the ethereal shadow screams of the Vimana, Scott induces trance states to allow your being to travel deep into the world of sonic vibrations. We're chatting about all sorts of things, including what is 432Hz, what are planetary frequencies, binaural beats, and we hear about Scott's journey into discovering singing bowls and sound healing instruments. Welcome to Shanty Sound. This is Electric Consciousness. Hey, Scotty, how you doing?
Hey, Michelle, how you going?
Yeah,
I'm pumped to be here.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, stoked to have you here. I have been following you for a little while. And looks like you're getting up to some really interesting stuff with sound and music. And I think you've just got such an interesting story and background to share with us. So I'd love to start there and just get to know you a bit. So can you tell us a bit about you and maybe where you grew up and where you are now and anything in between?
Yeah. So where I am now is I live in Mount Gambier. And I've recently dived headfirst into the world of sound healing and sound meditation and sound journeys and healing instruments. And I've been trying to sort of grow an Instagram account where I go out to, I live in such a beautiful part of the world, and I find cool spots at cool moments of the day, and just do small little snippets of playing some type of healing instrument. And I keep it short just so if people are scrolling, they can sort of stop and go, oh, that's right. The world is beautiful. It's really cool, So that's where I sort of am now in regards to, my musical journey. But I guess, I grew up in Adelaide and life really changed for me when I picked up a guitar. And guitar ended up becoming my instrument. I was right into sports when I was a kid, and then got into high school, picked up a guitar, got with some mates, got in a band, and then that was it. That's all I ever did. I didn't listen in school. I would just basically, flip through the glossy pages of the guitar magazines. Ooh, it was so exciting. And, ever since then, I've just been pursuing deeper and deeper music. And music is so cool because it's like, the ocean, it's so uncharted. And every time you think something, there's something a little bit more to know about it. And then you can go deeper and then you can go deeper and then you find all these new exciting things, you know, wherever you travel. So I haven't stopped since then, you know. I was and I've played in bands my whole life, basically. From then, I ended up getting into music teaching and became a school teacher teaching music. So yeah, that's been a huge part of my journey as well. So it's sort of been able to inform my practice, my musical practice, and it's also given me some very, very interesting world experiences and personal experiences as well.
Awesome. Yeah, music tends to do that.
So, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I love seeing all your videos that you're making, because you're based in the beautiful southeast of South Australia in Macambia. And that's actually my hometown. And I lived there for about 20 years. So when I see you posting pictures of and videos of your gongs and crystal bowls and these beautiful settings like the Blue Lake and the Valley Lakes, and it hits me straight in the heart.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing about and it's most places where we, you know, where we live, but there's like an endless supply, because the scenery changes so much throughout the year. So what I'm doing now is all sort of summery sort of stuff. But come winter, you know, we have some pretty wet, crazy winters. And then there are some other places that come alive. So I'm pretty excited. But really at its core, the whole journey of doing that on Insta is really more about me finding a vehicle and a way to be creative as much as I can, and to be always thinking, where can I do that next thing? And that really resonates with me, like gives me that motivation to go, oh, there's that beautiful place, you know. And I'll sit in that spot on a particular time of day and I'll just feel whatever energy I can, and I'll translate that energy into sound frequency, and I'll love that. It's so cool. especially with the didge, you know, the didge is really it's so such an expressive instrument. And every time I sit down with the didge, you know, I'll sit down before I press record on the video, and I'll feel the earth, and I'll you know, have a little bit of a play. I'll test some of the harmonies with the bowls, and everywhere I go, something different comes out. And it's just, I can feel it. It's definitely the energy of the land just seeping through my bones. It's pretty cool.
I find that it's powerful land down there. I really resonate with what you're saying there.
And yeah.
I'd love to know actually a bit about some of your instruments and maybe some of your favorites, because that's a hemp didge that you play, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a hemp didge from Sound of Hemp, and it's tuned to F in 432. So 432 Hertz was part of my journey of discovery and wanting to experiment with different frequencies. So, you know, I bought a crystal bowl set at 432. And then I was thinking about, you know, what I wanted from a didge. And in my initial thought, I thought F was quite high, but the didge is actually pumps out these sub bass sounds as well. So it's quite an amazing instrument. So that is, that's definitely one of my favorite instruments. And I was pretty keen to fuse this idea of modern technology fused with, you know, indigenous knowledge of the ancient cultures, fused with modern production methods, sustainable production methods. And that really resonates with me as well. And I can feel really comfortable playing an instrument like that, you know, has such a rich history.
Yeah, amazing. I'd just love to talk a little bit or ask you about the 432 Hertz, because actually that's not a topic that's been covered on the podcast at all yet. And yeah, so some people might not know anything about frequencies and Hertz. So what's your thoughts on all of that? Why do you choose 432 for those instruments?
Great question. And, you know, it was funny, the way I came about 432, I was just doing some research on the internet and I came across some type of conspiracy theory about 432. And it was the conspiracy theory was about 440 hertz. And it was the talk was about, you know, it was standardized, I don't know the date, back in the 30s, maybe in the UK. And it was made, you know, this is going to be a standard tuning is 440 hertz. For listeners that don't know about hertz, you know, it's like one cycle of a sound wave, basically. So that 440 hertz mean there's 440 of these 440 cycles per second. And I've been tuning to 440 my whole life. So, you know, I read about it and I don't buy into any of the conspiracy theories, but it just sparked my interest a little bit. And so I retuned my guitar to 432 and I went, oh yeah, that's pretty cool. I'd love to explore it a little bit more. And and as I, you know, you can go down this deep hole on the internet where there's people who are really, really passionate about it. And there's just all these arguments about frequencies and it's quite fun to have a look at. But for me, it was an exploration of frequency and vibration. And it resonated with me when I heard my bowls at 432. I'm like, hey, that's really cool. I love it, you know? So now I have a dedicated guitar tuned to 432. I have my didge, which is tuned to 432. And I use the planetary gong tuned to the platonic year. So that resonates at about 172.06 hertz, and which is really close to being 432. It's like 432.3 or something like that. So when I'm doing my sound art, I'm able to hit the gong and start the digit at the same time. And it's just like, honestly, it's like the sunrise. It's just like beautiful. Like it's just amazing. It's an amazing sound hearing that and those frequencies vibrating in the room together. It's just amazing. So, you know, loving that. But I experiment with a lot of frequencies. You know, I use a lot of electronic music as well. And when I'm experimenting with electronic stuff, I can sample my bowls and then I can change the frequency of the bowls. So I've been using some of the planetary frequencies that were made famous by Hans Cousteau. And he calculated a calculation from the way the planets orbit the sun and the time it takes for the planets to orbit the sun. And then he times them to get into an audible frequency and you get all these really cool, bizarre frequencies. And I think what turned me on the most is that, you know, you can literally send these frequencies out in the universe that not many people are doing. You know, everyone's tuned to 440, et cetera. And we're sending these amazing frequencies out that have sort of been locked away. A little. So, you know, I feel like I am unlocking this cosmic door of amazingness. And then look, there's all, if you go into it, there's all sorts of crazy things about 432 and the size of the pyramids and the circumference of the earth and everything's supposed to rotate and resonate at 432. And it's, you know, and I love all that. I'm feeling it. So, It's 432 for this style of music, you know. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's really cool that you feel that. I know that my husband James makes the cosmic tone instruments, and from time to time people request them, they come in 432. And yeah, there's definitely got to be something special about it because people do resonate with it.
Yeah, yep. And another cool thing is that you can play it up against a 440 hertz instrument and you can play the same tone and you can get your 8 hertz binaural beat happening in the middle, which an eight hertz oscillation isn't audible by the human ear, but you can hear it oscillating when you chuck those two instruments together. So that's pretty cool as well.
Can you expand a little bit about binaural beats?
Oh, well, it's just basically, so binaural means, you know, you've got two tones going at the same time, but one is tuned a few hertz differently to the other. So the frequency difference creates a new frequency in the listener's head.
Ah, yes.
So, incredible. A lot of, so the human ear generally can't hear under 20 hertz. So this way we can experience vibrations that are under 20 hertz, you know. So like the Schumann resonance is like 7.83, and it's some sort of calculation in quantum physics that is got to do with the way that the earth, the electromagnetic waves react after a lightning strike. Anyway, it's pretty cool.
So, I can tell you've really researched all this a lot.
I love it. And I'm not a scholar. Like, you know, that's not how I see knowledge. I'll find out something and I'll literally go, wow, that's cool. Let's do that. Bang. And I'm like, well, that sounds awesome. Yeah. instead of going right into deep the science, I'm more into the sound and the way that it feels in the air and sending that energy out rather than diving into a deep understanding of the frequency. I'd rather produce the frequency and say, well, that's pretty cool, you know. And this is the thing about music and sound is that we play with the intent as the practitioner or as the musician, as the performer, we play with the intent and it is the receiver that does all the work. You know, you put in as much as you can as the practitioner, and the receiver receives the energy, and then they have to decide what they're going to do with it. You know, it's just like it's that old thing. You open the door. Who's going to walk through? How are you going to walk through? What are you going to be wearing? You know, so I'm in with that.
I like to see sound as a mirror for where you're at in the moment. I think it really, it's very reflective of, what's going on inside.
Yeah. So when I was a guitar player, well, I still am a guitar player, you know, and I teach guitar and I love it. And I'll always play. But growing up, all I wanted to do was to play fast. So I wanted to shred the guitar. So sitting on one note for me was unfathomable. It's been unfathomable my entire life. I've even made it my mission in life to sort of shred life, you know, live in the fast lane. You know, don't think about what you're playing now. Think about what you're going to play next and the next thing. And so my guitar playing reflected that. And I played blisteringly fast guitar. And that's what I was known for, fast guitar. So, you know, when you're talking about that mirror and finding out where you are in that moment, that's what I found really exciting about this type of work and these types of instruments, is that the music stays still in some time, in some places, like the bowls. It's a still sound, and we're not thinking about the next move, and you have to be still inside, and that gives you the opportunity to start to, like you said, the mirror, reflect, come inside. What's going on? How are you? Are you okay? You know, and these are the questions you can start to ask yourself when you're given that moment of stillness. And that's something that I think a lot of us struggle with, is finding that a moment to be still. And I think that's why this type of work is resonating with so many people, and why it's so important, because some of us find it a lot easier with being taken on a journey to find that space. And sometimes that can be a journey that's guided by somebody, but, you know, and somebody maybe giving like a guided meditation sort of thing. And that works for some people. And then sometimes it's, unguided, and it's just the sound guiding you. And that can be a powerful spot as well. You might find yourself in a spot you never thought you were going to end up in when you start.
Yeah, there's such a lot to unravel.
Oh yeah.
I'm interested to know, you have been a music teacher, as you mentioned, a high school music teacher, and in fact an ARIA award winning music teacher, and I'd love to know, was there a little switch that went off that brought you into this world of healing music? I guess in one way, like, I think that, you know, any music can be healing for anyone at any time. So for you, perhaps, you know, talking about needing to shred when you were going through your younger years, you know, I think that might be relevant for lots of people. But even with the thought that any music can be healing for anyone at any time, you've really come in and embrace this specific sonic artistry that you're really bringing into the world now. So what's, was there a point or what is it that's brought you here?
Okay. So it's funny that, you know, all of the stuff that you just mentioned there, all brought me here. So let me unravel it for you.
Okay.
So for the last 12 years, I've been a high school music teacher and, you know, I'm super passionate about music and I built this music program. You know, I got to this school and like music was dying there. And it was really, it was quite sad. The teacher there had destroyed the culture of what music is really all about and just basically destroyed the soul of music there. And so I rocked up to a broken program. You know, it's just students were broken as well. You know, the way that they were treated and the way that they felt about their own music journey just wasn't in a good spot. So I sort of took over there and I wasn't a music teacher. You know, I was just a primary school teacher. I'd come from a primary school teaching visual art. And anyway, I went for this job. I did this course at Berklee College in orchestration and writing music for film and TV. And I'm like, yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
Wow.
So I got this job and I'm like, I saw this program and I sort of took over and it took me a couple of years to sort of really sort of gauge what was happening, what's wrong, what's going on here, what needs to happen. And so I started to make these systematic changes to the program and the way that it was taught. And I really put a big focus on hands-on experiential play learning. So learning that really, and even though it was high school, because it was music and because we play music, I was able to sort of really, you know, hone in this philosophy of play and the benefits of creative thought, benefits of imagination, all that sort of stuff started to get ingrained into what I was doing. And we started doing contemporary bands and so forth. And that slowly gained momentum to the point where my colleague, Mike Backer, and I decided that we'd write our own musicals. So we got together in 2014 and wrote this musical called Future Punk. And it was a story about, you know, industrialized sort of world, which is encapsulated or embodied by the school. So the world is run by the principal and music is banned. It's not like in a Footloose way, but anyway, if you get caught playing music, you get banished to these things called the Wastelands. And this is in its first incarnation. And it was a fun musical to write. And basically everyone gets banned and they rebel against the system and in a big song battle. And, you know, it ends up that the principal is, well, there's all these love ties and all this weird stuff going on. And she's actually, you know, a really good musician, but she had to ditch her music so she could be part of this regime. And anyway, so that was that. And we started, so this is I digress.
Yeah, no, but, please do.
So yeah. And then we wrote another one, in, 2016 called Spectrum about, this mining company coming in and taking, wanting to steal the stone. It was based on some of the issues around Indigenous communities in Australia and uranium mining and some of the ideas that, you know, nothing is good is going to come taking this stuff, you know, this sacred stuff from the land. And so we based this musical around that idea. And we had these massive puppets and all sorts of stuff in that one. And that was a pretty cool show as well. And the hero is this autistic boy who thinks differently to everyone else. And we wanted to celebrate that. And we wanted to bring that into the forefront as well and make this guy, you know, just because you think differently, it doesn't mean that's a bad thing, you know. And so he saves the world, that sort of stuff. And, you know, this is all accompanied by the full score and so forth. Hours and hours and weeks and months of writing these massive musicals, which I had to produce a full score for. Wow. And then we did one called Shifting Sands in 2019, which is a same type of thing, you know, a coastal community, a development happening of a hotel and some corruption happening in the governments and the kids band together and fight them off. it's been the thing, you know, is empowering kids in these musicals and making them the hero of the journey. Because when I got there, you know, we were doing the musicals were all real traditional musicals, great musicals like South Pacific and, you know, all that sort of, you know, and Greece and all those types of things. Fantastic, but they're not necessarily fit with the demographic and kids and so forth. So it was nice to be able to bring younger kids into that space and empower them with those musicals. So I did that, head down, you know, just doing it for the kids. And we also created, we had this wicked team and we created these festivals. So it'd be, you know, teaming up with the food and hospitality crew and we'd run these festivals and they were just getting bigger and bigger, big gigs. And they were just bands, you know, there'd be hours and hours of music because that's where the program was at. And there'd be thousands of people, and we'd be collaborating with local produce as well. And we'd have some of the wineries come in and serve wine for the community. And it was just huge. And we just had this vision that it was just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And we were just planning because it started as this like lunchtime thing. And it ended up at, you know, at the Rowlands here in Mount Gambier, which is quite a nice big public spot. And, you know, we were looking at just making it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's when I won the award. You win an ARIA as a teacher by getting nominated and then the community has to vote for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel really grateful that I had such a strong community voting for me every day. And it was just such an amazing experience and one that I was really like, oh my God, you know, really grateful for when I found out I won, you know, that was pretty, but even just finding out you're in the final four, you know, that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
we had Guy Sebastian came out to the school and,
I watched a video of Guy at the school and all the kids and everyone just like totally stoked.
Yeah, I had this elaborate plan to prank the kids. So I knew that Guy was coming, but nobody else did. And so I planted this seed that they should. I said, oh, we've got this camera crew coming in. They just want to take some footage of the program, you know, so successful. And I reckon you should do this song. And I picked out Battle Scars by Guy Sebastian. And they were playing it really, really well. And I thought, this is really cool. So when Guy came, we hit him at the back and we had them start to play this song. And then he popped out halfway through the song. And, you know, the kids, and this is a testimony to the program, how strong it was. The kids kept playing. They didn't stop. They just kept going. And he joined in. And oh, it was a great moment. And, yeah, it's a good moment on YouTube. The YouTube's a bit of a mixture of we had to do it twice, so because they only had two cameras there. So the YouTube's a mixture of him actually coming out and also the second time we did it.
Okay. Oh well, it looks good. The YouTube
the magic
good.
Of television. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So anyway, I've got this massive program, things are going absolutely wonderful. You know, this is 2018 before I wrote the third musical. Anyway, in the third musical, we're pumping hard. And, you sort of get called to a meeting that, you know, things are going to have to change in the future. This isn't going to work because it wasn't sustainable for other people's subjects. So people wanted to be involved in what was going on with us. And it meant that they didn't want to do anything else. They weren't handing up their work on time because they're having so much fun. And so that's where the cog started to slip. And things started to really work against the way, you know, I was working. So, and that's the nature of the education system as well, you know, you know, it's like it was when I went to school for a reason. Like it still hasn't changed. It's still the same. So, you know, the kids at schools now still get the basic same experience that I did at school. So that's the nature of the system, that, you know, that they don't necessarily want to have, you know, the arts program overshadowing what the education system sees as being important, and which at this moment in time is science, technology, English and mathematics, which I love all of those subjects. But, you know, if I was driving the ship, I would say that those STEM subjects should stem from the arts, and art should be at the core of everything that we do, because that's where we get our imagination. That's where we get our creativity. And, you know, imagination is so important because that's what brings our thoughts into existence, and what we think we bring into existence. So, you know, so art is important. You know, if that's the key. That's the key to moving forward in our education system, is to say, well, what's at the core of what we do? Well, the arts is what allows us to connect with ourselves, connect with the universe, connect with each other. So why isn't that the most important thing we're learning in schools? But we're a little long way to go yet. But as part of my mission in life, you know, that's what I'd like to see. So I'd like to see that the work that the artists do in whatever medium they do is acknowledged as being the culturally moving cog that actually drives our society forward. So anyway,
I just love all of what you just said. I just resonate with that so much, and I'm like, school of Scotty, please.
yeah I know. I'd love it. And look, it's not off the cards. So it's something that it's given the energy and the space I'd love to move forward into. So back on this thing with everything falling apart and my journey and all my hard work unraveling around me, there was works at our site, and they were building a new building. My building just happened to be in the way of the bulldozers. So my building goes down.
Oh.
And so when my building went down, almost went down. Like, I thought I'd be okay. It's like, okay, they're building a new music room as part of this new development. They're building some new classrooms, and yeah, it's cool. But yeah, it wasn't cool. I went down with the building, and I ended up being thrown out this little moldy building at the back, right at the back of the school, right away from everything, like hidden. And I had to run all my programs. I was running this year 12 class, and I had four bands in a year 12 subject, and was given one room. And it's just like, what do you want me to do with that? And they're like, well, you know, you're a creative guy. I'm sure you'll be creative with it. And it's just like, so the world started unraveling around me. You know, I've found myself in this really, really dark spot. And the idea that the community got behind me to do all this stuff, and now I couldn't, now I couldn't perform the way I wanted to and give the community what they expected of me, because it was just sort of being taken away. And then there was, you know, the ego hit of not really feeling like I was being valued. Bang, down on my head, until the spot where, you know, I remember going to the beach, and the beach is one of my spots. You know, I'm a surfer, and whenever I'm near the water, I'm going to be happy. Even if there's no waves, I'm still, you know, oh, well, there's no waves. At least I'm near the water. Anyway, I got down the beach this day, and there was nothing. I didn't feel anything. It's just like, I felt bad. And I was just like, something is wrong here, you know? And so I ended up seeing some professionals, and they're like, you know, maybe it's time to develop an exit strategy. And although I knew that that's what I needed to do, I couldn't work out how to do it. And I couldn't work out, you know, and it was just such a big move for me. I'd been a teacher for like 18 years, and I was sort of struggling with that. And so I go down this moment, and I'm like, and the funny thing was, I couldn't listen to music. I couldn't, like,
wow.
It was silent. All the music went off, nothing, until one day I thought about my childhood, and I rediscovered one of my childhood heroes when I was a young guitar player. And here's this jazz guitar player called Alan Holdsworth. I even got his autograph when I was a kid. He was this amazing virtuoso, like unbelievable. And he would play like nobody else. There's no one that still can play the way that he did. And everything about him was great. But he has this style of really weird atonal dissonance and bizarre scales. Of course, the guy knew exactly what he was doing. He was a genius, but you couldn't reach it. It was unreachable. So every time you couldn't necessarily pick up the pulse where it should be, or the pulse had changed too quickly. The chord progression would be so complex, you wouldn't even be able to understand all the extensions that were being placed on. And it was just, and it started to resonate in me, and I'm like, oh my God, this feels good. This is, and then that's all I could listen to. And wow, that's started my journey back. And then I started to think about sound, and I started to really think about how that music pulled me back from, you know, this moment. And that's when I was actually, because I do a lot of electronic music, and I was looking through some electronic sounds, and I found this plugin, which is a series of sampled instruments. And this particular plugin was sampling meditation sounds. And I was looking through some of the list of the instruments, and I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen any of these things. And so I started to look up these instruments, and I'm like, I started with the bowls, you know. I was so interested because I've always loved crystals anyway. And I'm like, oh my God, what are these crystal bowl things? And I'm like, this is cool. So I saw the, as soon as I saw what they were, and I went online and I saw a few sound baths, and that's where I was like, oh my God, sound baths are a thing. What? What are you talking about? What is this? People go out and they get washed by sound. And I'm like, that sounds amazing. And so I had to have a set. And then I got a set, and I can't even explain how much I started to resonate with the idea of playing those instruments. It was just like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And then when I started to play with the air and how things were moving through the air, when we're playing with frequency, we're literally messing with the air molecules and how they interact with each other. And I started to really, really resonate with that idea, and then creating art that's in the air that you can't see. And I loved it. And it was just like, oh my God, because, you know, the human brain is, and we take this for granted, Michelle, too. Like, it's so amazing. People could think, oh, you know, I'm silly, I'm dumb, I don't know anything, I don't know anything about that, blah, 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 blah. How about the fact that at any moment in time, your brain is processing sounds coming from 360 degrees, hitting the hairs in your eardrum, and your brain is processing that and then turning it into something that it can understand really, really easily. You can hear the car driving down the road, down the street, or if you're where I am, you can hear the cow moo over the corner, or you can hear the TV going in the room next door. You can hear the party happening down the street. Why? Because those low frequencies are so freaking powerful that they're coming through your walls. So that's like a little sphere. Every time one hurts, it's like an explosion of a sphere. It's like, you know, full 360 degrees, bang, out into the world. Some of the metal instruments like the gong, oh my goodness, the types of complex frequencies that are coming out of that thing. If you could see the air moving, it would be like some sort of crazy molecule party where everyone's just like, "Phew." Yeah.
Imagine that. That would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, and the way that your brain deals with it, it's not necessarily going to be the same as the way someone else's brain deals with it as well. You know, everyone has their favorite instrument. Oh, I really loved the bowls, or I love the way that you were getting those amazing tones from the gong. One of the favorite instruments is the ocean drum.
Mm. You know,
just that soothing sound, or sometimes it's really intense, mm-hmm. especially for the person actually using it. The ball bearing sliding against that skin and creating that illusion of the ocean. People are there. It's the ocean. You know, it's pulling those same frequencies that your ears would pick up if you were actually there. It's amazing. So, yeah, I love that sort of stuff. And having that repertoire of instruments and that ability to play with the air.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And,
yeah,
you know, those things don't stop. They travel through stuff. You know, you think about sound traveling through water. Doesn't just travel through air, it travels through wood, obviously travels through crystal. I had this kid the other day who wanted to know whether sound traveled through lava.
Oh, and what did you come up with?
I loved the question. I told him to go and have a look. And yeah, he came back to me and said it does.
Wow.
It does. Doesn't travel very fast or very far, but it does, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's... don't you love how I just get on a roll? Like, you know,
I just go
bang. Oh, you know, how did I get into sound healing instruments? Well, and probably a couple of things I skipped on as well. And this is quite important. You know, I really believe in manifesting things.
Yeah.
So when I was in my 20s, all I wanted to do, because I was a muso, I was playing in a punk band. Down the south of Adelaide called the Bearded Clans and having a great time. We were getting sniffs from record companies and stuff like that. And in my line of sight, all I wanted was an ARIA award. You know, this is the big award in Australia for musicians. This is the pinnacle. This is how I know I've made it, ARIA award. And I was sitting there one night and I saw a bloke I knew who was in the same circles as me as a kid growing up, getting one. And it wasn't me. It wasn't me. And my ego went, oh my God, you know, maybe you've just been playing the wrong stuff. And, you know, because I was into extreme heavy metal and, you know, I was playing in this punk band. And I remember the night was I watched the award get given and I thought to myself, well, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe I needed a plan B. I'm going to become a teacher. And I did the mature age entry test for university and became a teacher. And down the track, doing that enabled me to receive what I wanted to manifest in my early 20s, all that. But I wasn't thinking about that, but the seed was so strong. And all I needed to do was just follow what was happening and just walk proudly down each door that opened up to me with opportunity. And there it was. And then I was standing there with all these amazing artists and musicians and the top musicians in the country handing me this award and being acknowledged. And I was also given the time in front of all the record executives to give a proper speech instead of the minute that they give the artists that win. I gave a big, long five, six-minute speech about the importance of music education. Yeah, it was cool. So it's funny how I wanted it so badly, but then I went off on this different tangent and became a teacher, and then I got back to it. And now I believe I'm in the spot where I'm in probably the biggest position I've ever been to, you know, really have music make a difference for people's in people's lives. So.
So you've been working in the schools for such a long time and with the high school and directly as a music teacher. Is there any particular experience that you've had with any student or group of students where you've really felt the difference that music has made?
Yep. Throughout my time as a music teacher, that literally did not stop every year. With these kids that connected, they connected so well with music that music became their thing and music really informed their future pathways. One of the things about teaching though is that it's not just music, it's the relationships that you build as a person in teaching, you know, so the kids have to feel valued. And they have to feel safe. And what we found is that music became like a second home for a lot of people where they actually felt like they had a spot to go at lunch, They actually felt that they had a community of like-minded individuals that they could connect with. And I think that that's really important as well. And that's the type of thing that music can create. You know, having kids working in creative groups, you know, being creative within a group isn't something that is just pops up naturally and pops up all the time. You know, yeah, we've got to work in groups and teams and so forth, but actually being creative and coming up with something as a collective is actually, you know, it's something that's probably not taught as much in schools as what we'd want. Music is a perfect way to do that. And you can see that the life skills that kids get from that is amazing. I just curated an event recently and I brought back a couple of 28-year-olds and a couple of young 21-year-olds into the theatre as practicing musicians, all highly successful. And they're all my students, you know, and it's really nice to see them now as grown adults, you know, absolutely killing it and owning it. So there's all those types of stories. And then there's the stories of the kids that weren't in a good state of mind. You know, school was not a good place for them. And even other school children were not good for them. And finding a space within music where they felt like, this is where I can connect, this is where I feel like I belong, that has a huge amount of power as well in education. And just, you know, and sound and music making a difference. So you see those stories all the time. You know, the group that I ended up, because I resigned from the Department of Education, the group that I ended up finishing, so many of them were on this musical journey. And so many of them have gone off to pursue music. As that music teacher, you're with them for 5 years. So you're with them for a significant part of their development. They come as these little kids. They could be shy. They could be crying before a performance. And they leave as these strong, confident, young sort of adults. Well, yeah, so that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Lots of stories.
Yeah. Well, I think it really fortifies the idea that music and sound can be healing for any person at any time. But you've stepped away now from doing that as your day job. You've stepped out of the classroom.
Well, I'm still in the classroom. One of those things is I was thinking after I won that award is that, you know, I'm at one school. I was teaching part-time then, I reckon. So I was probably teaching about 40 kids. How can I extend the reach of what I do? So I've managed to get myself a job where I teach general classroom teachers how to teach music. So these are teachers that have little or no experience with music. I'm helping them integrate music into their everyday practice with really simple ideas and practices that are quite powerful for kids. So, and I work in across 5 schools. I work in 19 classes. So I've been able to extend that reach of that passion and that energy that I'm able to connect with and then deliver out and give to these schools and these kids and these teachers. And hopefully that turns into a bit of a legacy so that these teachers are able to then teach the next group of kids the next year. And then once it's ingrained in their practice, then they can do it every day. And so the amount of people that can have a positive impact on is huge. So, yeah, it's a step in the right direction. And, it's really nice to be able to work in an environment where I know that I'm making a difference and having that positive connection with music and sound pretty cool.
Very cool. I'm thinking about the work that you've been doing with your sonic artistry and music.
Yeah.
And yeah, you did a show recently in the Mount Gambier Fringe.
Yeah. I did 3 shows as part of the Mount Gambier Fringe, which is a great, fantastic initiative to really push arts in the community. So I have a show that is based around healing instruments combined with modern technology and electronics. That's a really, really exciting project that I'm working on. It's part of my artistry, the Electric Consciousness Work, which is my Instagram page. Yeah. And what I do is I sample the instruments, and usually starts off pretty quiet. So, you know, I record these instruments and then I start to pattern and layer them. So I'm not traditional looping. but I'm layering them and patterning them into sequences using music production software and DJ software. And then I'm able to create more art with it because I'm able to put different types of effects on it, mess with the frequencies that are happening. And that turns into a real exploration of texture. So when you're layering sounds and you're molding them together, you create these really sort of ethereal textures that are really meditative, and they're still repetitive, but you just might have like, you know, you might have like the flume on a gong just going in the background, and then you hear it again. You know, and then I can mess with that, and I can change the pitch, and it can start to go. We really push the subwoofers so that the whole place is like pumping. So I love to play with that, and you know, create paths with my vocals. Like I'm not a singer, but I trust my body to come up with particularly long tones that I can then record and then detune and then create ambience using my voice as well. So it really ends up being quite a psychedelic sort of experience. And I was explaining to a couple of people who were asking in the green room about what I was going to do, and I said, well, you know, pretty much I want to give you the psychedelic experience, one that you can drive home from. Yeah, so for me, part of music is, you know, you can really enter a different state of consciousness, like,
yeah.
And with the way that the sound instruments work, the sound healing instruments work with the vibration in the air, and the way that you can then manipulate that as well, it's just all like this massive symphony of frequencies that are all driving towards a particular place. And for the listener, that place is somewhere inside of them. And that's, I think, you know, one of the most coolest things. And when I do that work, I'm like, I'm home. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is amazing. We also have a show called Resonant Bodies, which is a team up with a buddy of mine, Gav Clark. He has this particular style of movement that he has bits of his body inform other parts of his body. And he starts moving in relation to the frequencies and the resonance in the room. And that's pretty cool as well. So in that show, you know, you can sit there and just focus on the sound, or you can focus on his movement, or you can focus on both. And it's just adds another layer to that experience. So that's a couple of the bits and pieces that I've been doing as far as public events go.
Awesome.
What I did this year was I have all these fractal visual loops as well. It's like a cinema behind me. Basically, I'm performing in front of the cinema of these massive loops. And these fractal loops, they're computer generated, and they look like clouds. And it's fully, so there's a bit of a visual experience going there.
What I'm interested in people's thoughts on that are working in this field, who's it for? Who benefits from coming to these kind of events or putting on a pair of headphones and listening to something that you might create? Who is it for? Who benefits? And what are the benefits?
I don't think it's an easy question to answer. As an artist, the first person who benefits is me, because part of me is like, you know, stuff it. You know, I'm going to do what I want, and whoever's resonating with me can be with me. You know, there's a bit of that going on in what I do, because what's the use in doing something to please people? You know, why wouldn't you do it to please yourself? But I think from an early age, part of who I am and part of how I resonate in this universe is that I have such profound experiences with sound going on in my own being. And the automatic response for me is like, oh my God, imagine if everyone could feel like this, you know? Imagine if we could all feel this, what I'm feeling. You know, I'd love to be able to gift that to this next person. And I'd love to be able to gift that to this next person. And so when I was a kid, I'd literally practice by playing air guitar in my bed. And for me, it hasn't been, you know, hey, look at me, I'm up on the stage playing my instrument, doing guitar, like, and I a rock god. It hasn't been about that. It's about, can you feel this? Can you feel what I'm feeling? Are you getting that dose of energy? Because we're in this together, you know. And one of the things I found from playing high energy music was receiving from the audience, you know, you were talking high energy punk and pushing out all this high energy music, and then that energy just coming back to you, and it's just like informing your next move. And you know, as you grow up and you get more mature, you can start to pick that up in a little bit more of a subtle sense, and it doesn't have to be so intense coming from 1,000 people, but it can just come from one person, you know. Yeah. And you can start to really feel that. So I think everybody benefits from music and sound, but at the end of the day, it's the people that are resonating at the same frequencies and that are looking for the same frequencies that you are at a particular moment in time. You know, that's when everything aligns. That's when everyone benefits, because everyone's after the right thing. Sorry, not the right thing, but everyone's after the same thing. Let me explain it like this. You know, when you tune a guitar, you've got a string, and then the other string needs to be in tune, or else it's going to sound out. So they need to be resonating with each other. So that's the same with people. You know, you've got one person who's tuned to a certain frequency, and then, you know, that other person may not be vibing at that frequency, but they start to resonate together with this shared experience. And when they're in tune, that's when everyone benefits. So, and I think that's the job of the sound practitioner and healer, is to tune everyone and get everyone feeling.
Yeah.
Everyone feeling what I'm feeling. Woo! You know? So, yeah, that's. That's how I'd answer that question.
That is a great answer. Oh, I love that. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I was going to ask you as well. You did an online course learning about sound.
Yeah, I did. When I found out that, you know, a sound bath was a thing.
Yeah.
I got really jealous because I've never seen one. And I'm like, how was I a music teacher and didn't even know these things existed, you know? Well, I would have been doing this every morning for the kids.
Yeah.
So I did this accredited practitioner course online, and that really introduced me to what it is and how to put on an event and how the instruments were played, and talked about, you know, a lot of the practicalities of being a sound practitioner as well. It wasn't really a deep course, so it didn't necessarily get into talking about how you would take people on that journey, how you would relax them using sound. But I'm pretty in tune with my oneness with the universe. And I just tap into that knowledge, that's just that ancient knowledge of how that happens. So, and we're all different, and we all travel that pathway differently, but that's the goal, is to tap into that knowledge and to let that knowledge flow through you when you're delivering one of these events. And that is one part of this whole experience that, you know, resonates so highly with me as well, because that's what I've been doing on the guitar as well. You know, is that, because people go hey, can you play this song, you know, and I go, well, no, because, you know, I've spent my entire life developing my skills and my knowledge of music, and I didn't really stop to learn to play that song. I can play it, I can just read the music, that's fine. But like, that's, you know, every time I sit down with my instrument, it's like I'm going into meditation. I'm connecting with the cosmos, and I'm saying to myself, flow through me and see what comes out. And that's how I write all my music, and that's how that's what music has been to me for forever. I mean, you play in bands and you learn, and that's a different experience to sort of sitting down and playing an instrument. But it's generally playing. You're generally playing with this, your secrets of the universe. So there's this bloke that I follow on Instagram. And he's a legend. His name's Astarius Miraculi, and he's from Sedona in Arizona, and he's this crazy cat who's a sound healer, and he does like harmonic singing, and he plays the didge. And he was on a Q&A, and I'm like, I asked a question, and I'm like, hey man, like here's this African American guy living in Arizona playing the didgeridoo. how did you get into this? And he's like, you know, the way he described it was like, you know, the didgeridoo found him.
Yeah.
And he said the best thing after that, which I love. And he said, when he plays the didgeridoo, you know, all he's doing is he's unlocking the frequencies that have existed since the beginning of everything, you know. And I just love that. Like, that's so amazing. Like, you know, when you play these instruments, you're unlocking these frequencies for everybody to hear. The frequencies are there. They're already there. We're just unleashing them. And I just love that thought of unleashing the frequencies. You know, sometimes when I play the bowls, I swear I can see it. Sometimes for me, I can see in my mind's eye this, it's almost like smoke oozing out from the bowl. Like it's like a magic potion. And I love that sort of stuff. And some of the stuff you get to experience when you're really deep in a sound session is just like, whoa.
I feel like you're just gonna keep on exploring and
creating. that's what I'm here for. I'm here to do that. I'm here to be that guy that likes to push those types of boundaries in a positive way, and one that's respectful of the community of musicians that are playing these instruments as well. I certainly have so much respect and deep awe for these amazing instruments, and you know, that's why I have this wonder. It's like, wow, what else can we unlock, you know? What can we do? This is so I'm so excited.
That's cool. I've been asking everyone about their personal practice. Do you have a personal practice that helps you stay well mentally, physically? Is it music? Is it sound? Is there something else? What works for you?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I'd love to share. The things that I do all the time.
Yeah.
So before I play, these days I do some Qigong. I play, and I find that really gets me in a fantastic headspace for slowing down and mental sharpness and clarity. So really enjoying that. But that's a practitioner sort of thing. But as generally in my life, a couple of things. Number one is I'm a surfer.
Yeah.
So that is my connection. One of my ways I connect with different types of vibrations and earthly frequencies is through surfing. Sometimes that's the wind on the back of my neck. Sometimes that's being in the water. Sometimes it's being rolled around like a rag doll underneath the ocean. So that is one of my connections, but that's not the only way I connect with nature. I think grounding is a really, really important thing that everyone needs to do. So getting barefoot, getting your shoes off, feeling the ground beneath your feet is something I do on a daily basis. The other one I want to share is the awareness of where we are in the universe. So it's an interesting one. And I'm not talking astronomical or astrological. I'm talking almost a combination of both. But, you know, the next time when you look at the sun or the moon, really lift your level of thinking on that macrocosmic level, and to just think about yourself as part of this other huge process and synergy and symphony that's happening on this macro level. And I think when you do that, and that, this can be a split second, this can be, you might be driving your car and you look up and you see the moon, and you know, you might say, okay, you know, we're in the first quarter or whatever your moon terminology needs to be. Or you might say, oh, you know, the moon is in a particular star sign or whatever. It doesn't really matter. But the idea is that your thought and your level of awareness goes from your head out into the universe. And I think that that is a really, really cool thing. And I think that that really connects you and reminds you of your place, your space, your worth, and your mission, and who you are in this world. So they're my daily practices.
Oh, I love that idea of connecting to the moon, the sun.
Yeah, it is. The sun's an interesting one, you know, because unless you're thinking of the sun as this massive star, and that the earth is, you know, you just might think, oh, it's too hot, or oh, it's nice to have the sun out, you know, a bit of sun on my skin, whatever, a bit of vitamin D. But when you think of it as this massive fireball star, and it is just like, you know, it is giving everything in this world, everything life, this massive burning ball of energy. And you think of it like that, and you know, and I love to have the sun in my videos when I do the videos, and I try and put some color work on it so that it's visible as a star, you know, it's this burning star rather than this thing that gives off UV rays and so forth that we're always, you know, frantically trying to protect ourselves against. You know, just that different level of thinking about what that amazing thing is out there. And then, you know, getting out to see the sunsets and sunrises and making sure you're up at those times is also important. So I do love to watch the sun come up whenever I can. Sometimes I try and capture the sun in sort of the reflection of the gongs and try and get that color shift happening, which is a pretty cool as well. If you get them out in nature too, getting a gong out in nature is pretty cool. Like getting any instrument out is pretty cool. Like the way that the birds interact, and I find really, really cool as well. Sometimes when I'm listening back to my tracks, I can hear birds and other animals that like I couldn't hear when I was initially playing. And you know, I always feel like I'm playing along with them, and they're all part of that. You know, the reality is that their sonic energy, they're producing those high pitched sounds. It's all in the universe. It's all around us, you know.
Cool
to think about that. That the symphony of sound, and I love it.
I think birds love human music and sound and singing, especially. They respond.
Sure. They love the didge. It's so cool. So it's nice to get amongst it. So personal practice is certainly getting out in nature. So you know, if you live in a city, that's going to be a little bit more difficult.
What about for the listeners? Do you have any sort of exercise that you could share to help people connect with or feel the benefits of music or sound?
Yeah, this is an interesting exercise. As you reflect on yourself and moments of your life that mattered, try and reflect on the music that you were listening to at those particular moments. And think of that as the soundtrack to your life.
Yeah. I can so relate to that.
Yeah. So that's just one way of you know, thinking about those times. I was going to say you want to focus on the good times, but that's not necessarily the case. Maybe you've got some shadow work to do. Maybe you need to focus on and find out where some of those scars lie, so you can start the healing there and work out what was going on, you know, in some of those darker moments as well. But I think that demonstrates to me how powerful music is. The fact that we can think about the music we were listening to in those times of our lives, and you know, that memory is that they're all attached. That's how powerful it is. You know, you might not be able to remember the book you were reading at the time, or you might not remember the newspaper that was on, or even what your favorite TV show was at that time. You might be able to, but you can certainly remember the soundtrack of your life. That's for sure.
Absolutely. I actually had an experience with that today. I just scrolling through socials and there was Billy Corgan playing Disarm, and that was actually the first song I learned to play on the guitar.
Hey.
And it was like the 27 year anniversary or something, and I was trying to work out how old I was when I first picked up the guitar.
Wow, that's so cool.
Me straight there, you know. I was like, oh, and every time I hear Smashing Pumpkins, it's like, you know, yeah, just go to my teenage years.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah, and I guess that's why a lot of people still listen to some of the music that they listened to when they were growing up, is because it takes them right back there. It takes them that, you know, if you're a parent of kids and you live a really, really busy life, and you always think, well, it's not about me anymore at this time, but you put your favorite music on, it takes you right back to the time where you were carefree and it's like it didn't really matter and you didn't have as much responsibility and you could go out and have a great time and listen to music with your friends and feel that energy. So that's pretty cool.
Definitely. Well, I just have loved talking to you. I feel like we could go on and on and on. Yeah, I think it's been really wonderful. Thank you so much for giving us so much of your time and your thoughts. And it's so obviously really passionate about music and sound. And oh, it's just wonderful. I'm excited to see what you do next. And where can people go to connect with you? And tell us what are your online things that people can see?
Okay, so you can connect with me through my Electric Consciousness page on Facebook and on Instagram. They're probably the easiest spots to connect with me, particularly on Instagram, because I'm trying to grow that brand. It's only brand new, so.
Yeah, definitely. If you're on Insta, I reckon everyone should get on there and follow you, Electric Consciousness, because your posts are just awesome and they'll get to see some of the beautiful scenery as well of the lovely southeast, as well as your amazing sonic artistry.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be so good. I'd be so grateful for a few people to drop by and check out what's going on that page.
Yeah, very cool. All right, well, thanks again so much, Scotty, for coming on the Shanti Sound podcast, and we'll look forward to connecting again soon.
Very grateful, Michelle. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Shanti Sound podcast. You can access all of the show notes at shantisound.com.au/podcast. I would love you to subscribe, like, comment, or leave a review wherever you're listening. And connect with me on Instagram at Shanti_sound and Facebook at Shanti Sound Australia. The music and sounds featured in the intro and outro are excerpts from the Shanti Sound Soundbath CD, recorded and produced by Michelle and James Byrne. You can download this and other music by Michelle and James Byrne at shantisound.com.au/music. Remember, sound brings healing and presence. The truest and sweetest sound comes from within. So hum, sing, and create sound whenever you can. Thanks for listening. I look forward to sharing with you again soon.